Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Orange Belgium Q1 2020 results. For the first part of this call, let me remind you that all participants will be on listen-only mode, and afterwards, there will be a question and answer session. I would now like to hand over to Koen Van Mol, Head of IR. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everyone. My name is Koen Van Mol, Head of Investor Relations at Orange Belgium. I would like to welcome you to our Q1 2020 earnings call. I hope that you and your relatives are all in good health, most of you working from home. Here on the phone with me are Michaël Trabbia, our CEO, and Arnaud Castilla, our CFO. As usual, you should have received all information on financial communication this morning. In any case, all the relevant information is also available on our corporate website. A Q&A session will follow right after Michaël's and Arnaud's introductory statement, and I will now leave the floor to Michaël.
Thank you, Koen. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, I hope everything is going well for you and your close ones during this period. At Orange Belgium, we have been and still are profoundly affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. Within this context, our first priority is the protection of our employees, our partners' employees, and of course, our customers, being fully compliant with the decisions and recommendations from the authorities. In addition, we concentrated our efforts on ensuring the service continuity, as connectivity is more than ever critical for the Belgian customers, businesses, hospitals, administration. We also believe we have an important societal role to support the country in this difficult time. We proactively promoted the stay-home message. We supported our customers with a dedicated platform and additional data, and we helped the government to monitor mobility via anonymized data. We provided concrete and meaningful support to hospitals and elderly homes with masks, cybersecurity, and communication solutions. We also made a joint donation by Orange Belgium, together with the members of its executive committee in their personal capacity, to finance a COVID-19 medical care unit in Brussels. The lockdown measures have impacted our sales, with the temporary closure of the shops only partially mitigated by the increase of other channels, mainly digital and telesales. We are preparing ourselves to reopen our shops as soon as it will be possible with all the necessary protection equipment and sanitary measures. Taking into account the remaining uncertainty on the COVID-19 impact on the overall Belgian economy, the board of directors decided, for the sake of prudence, to recommend the annual general meeting not to increase the 2019 dividend to 0.6 euro per share as initially foreseen, and to adopt a dividend of 0.5 euro per share, that is to say, unchanged compared to 2018. Our Q1 results were solid from a financial perspective, as Arnaud will comment in a minute, with an accelerated EBITDA growth. From an operational perspective, on the 9th of March, we launched Go, our revamped mobile portfolio, introducing exclusive mobile family discounts and confirming once again our bold challenger position. However, this launch has been impacted by COVID-19 lockdown measures. In this context and in a competitive environment, Q1 mobile net adds amounting to 9,000. At the end of the first quarter, our customer base, mobile customer base, amounted to 2.6 million customers, increasing by 3.9% year-on-year. Our Love You and Trio convergent offers continued to attract many new customers. We reached a very good 21,000 net adds in Q1. This is also thanks to the success of our Love You offer that continues to represent around one-third of our gross adds and now accounts for 14% of our total convergent customer base. As a consequence, 17.4% of our postpaid mobile customers are now convergent customers, an increase of 4.7 points year-on-year. Due to the delay in installation time, the lockdown impact on the convergent sales will materialize mainly in Q2 net adds. Finally, I would like to comment the draft decision on the wholesale cable tariffs that has been recently submitted to the European Commission. This document includes, among others, a major change in the methodology of cost recovery compared to the last draft decision. This major change would be massively detrimental for the customers. It appeared in the final steps of the process and would lead to significantly and artificially overcompensate the cable owner's actual costs. In addition, the assumption taken leads to a far excessive and unjustified increase of the wholesale tariffs by up to 25% over time. As such, the draft decision would necessarily lead to significant price increases year after year in the Belgian broadband market, also which is already amongst the most expensive broadband markets in Europe. In the interest of Belgian customers, we urge the European Commission and the regulators to materially improve the draft decision based on the reality of the costs and avoiding any overcompensation. Now I would like to hand over the floor to Arnaud for the quarter's financial review.
Thank you, Michael, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. So the measures taken following the pandemic crisis may have an impact on the company's financial performance. The first quarter of this year was impacted for a period of about 2 weeks, so it's too early to say how this will impact the rest of the year. But we foresee a moderate negative impact in revenues caused by lower gross adds in mobile and convergence, partially offset by a reduction in churn. The decrease in handset sales, as well as the decline in SMS traffic, will have an impact on the top line, but not so much on the EBITDA. Therefore, we have been very cautious with our costs, which were also reduced through the reduction of the customer acquisition cost. Hence, we expect to have a more limited impact on EBITDA over the year. The 2020 eCapEx should moderately decrease due to some limitations during the lockdown period. Taking into account this factor, we assume to have a better view on the COVID-19 impact after the second quarter, and we will consider an update of the 2020 financial guidance at that moment. So, from a financial perspective, we had another quarter of solid growth, increasing our retail service revenue by 4.6% year-on-year to 223.8 million for the quarter. This growth is mainly supported by the increase of convergent revenues, reaching 51.8 million, which is 35.8% more than the same quarter last year. We have been able to increase our EBITDA by 7.6% to 62.2 million, mainly thanks to the increase of retail service revenues and our cost improvement, for example, in the cable operation. Our cable operation had a positive EBITDA of 2.5 million, while last year we still had a loss of 1.1 million. In the light of the Bold Inside program, we have continued to make the necessary efforts to control our costs, which provided its result with stable costs versus last year in a revenue growth context. The launch of our new mobile portfolio will not only lead to simplicity for our customers, but will also help to streamline our processes aiming at lowering the cost for managing those portfolios. The confirmation of the competition authorities that no additional interim measures are needed for the execution of the mobile network access sharing agreement with Proximus has enabled us to transfer employees to the newly created joint venture, M-Wings, and to start off our agreement. So with this, I conclude the presentation. We are ready for your questions. Operator, may I ask you to now open the call for Q&A?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad. So we have a first question from David Wegman from ING. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, everyone. Can you hear me properly?
Yes.
Yes, okay, thank you. So first question on the regulation. What do you think has happened at the regulatory level? In your view, what could be your legal option? So regarding the wholesale cable regulation, what could be also the short-term financial impact for 2020 and the impact on your commercial strategy in the short and long term? So that's on regulation. And second question on the impact of COVID potentially on your bold inside gross savings. So the 30 million euro target I think you had, would you say that some simplification initiative could be delayed? Thank you.
Thank you. So I will answer on the regulation part, maybe leave Arnaud comment on the financial impact for 2020, and Arnaud will also answer on the bold inside question. So on the regulatory topic, obviously it is something that is not what we expected, for sure. There are legal options. It's a little bit early now to decide on this topic. First, because the final decision has not been taken yet, so we are still in the even if we are in the last steps of the process, we are still in the still a draft decision, and we are still in the consultation mode, even if it's a consultation only for the European Commission. But we will consider all options, obviously, when the final decision is taken. On the financial impact for 2020, I will let Arnaud comment. However, what I can mention is that in our guidance, we have been relatively cautious on this topic. And I would like also to remind that even if the wholesale tariff is not as expected, it is still lower than the current wholesale tariff. On the strategy and the marketing, obviously, we are reconsidering our marketing strategy following this draft decision. We will obviously wait for the confirmation and the final decision to take any action and decision. But it is obvious that the indication given by the regulator in this draft decision, we will need to take it into account in our strategy. For instance, what we can see is that there is beyond, I would say, the overall level of the tariffs. What we can see is that currently we have very expensive speed cost. For instance, if we want to go beyond the 100 megabits per second, it's very expensive. So it will have an impact on our marketing on those very high speed. And second, what we can see is that there is a significant increase over time of the tariffs that will mechanically lead to price increases in Belgium. We are convinced that our competitors are used to this kind of price increase. Up to now, we always pushed back on these price increases because we believe they are not justified in the Belgian market where the prices are high already. Because we believe also that the cost, the reality of the cost, does not justify to have more expensive prices. However, if the decision is confirmed, it is certainly something we will need to consider as from next year. Now I will let Arnaud comment on both sides.
And also on the financial impact of this potential new regulation. So as Mikael said, it's always better than the current price, the forecasted price with this potential new regulation. As you know, today, on average, the price is about 21 euro per month per customer. So, we expected, as we told you before, an average price of 15 euro per customer and per month. So maybe, and it's our calculation, and there are a lot of parameters, but our forecast is with this potential new regulation, the unitary wholesale price would be between 17 and 18 euro a month. So yes, there will be an impact on S2. It's maybe the gap between the 15 we expected and now the 17, 18 we can have in the beginning of July. So all in all, you can do your calculation, but it could be an impact of about 5 million euros on 2020. Nevertheless, it's still positive compared to the current one. And as you know, we have a lot of actions to improve our P&L on cable. Operational actions on customer service and so on. And so I can speak now on Bold Inside, and the cable P&L is very linked to this Bold Inside action. So improvements coming again. But of course not. COVID has zero impact on our board inside plan. I can say the opposite, because this plan was mainly focused on simplification, digitalization, and empowerment. On the three topics, we see enormous progress in Orange Belgium, even during this COVID crisis. Simplification very key in this crisis. Digitalization, we increased a lot our digital channels compared to anti-COVID. So thanks to our Bold Inside plan. And empowerment, you need people empowered during this crisis. And we have experienced exceptional behavior of our people because they are very responsible, and it was mainly thanks to our Bold Inside plan on people. So yes, we keep this 30 million savings thanks to Bold Inside. And I think it was key last year, even with a growth profile of our revenues and a good trend, to put in place this Bold Inside. Because now, the COVID crisis is a perfect example where simplification, digitalization, and empowerment are key in front of difficulties and the new trends of the market. So I think our Go portfolio is also part of our Bold Inside move. Bold Inside, it's perfectly on track.
Thank you. And maybe a very quick follow-up on the COVID, on the wholesale cable impact. So you talked about the 5 million. Would you also expect lower acquisition, maybe because of the fact that you cannot be as aggressive as you would have wanted to be in the back-to-school period? So in H2, is it something that you model or that you budget?
I will answer on this topic. So Michael speaking. First, and as Arnaud mentioned, there is an impact on the wholesale tariffs, but you also need to understand, and we always mention this, and Arnaud reminded this topic, the improvement in cable is linked partly to the wholesale, also to our own efficiency, our own improvement in operation, which continues. Arnaud reminded this very clearly. Our transformation is going on well at a very good rhythm. And indeed, we believe that the current COVID period rather accelerates for us. We see this as a strong accelerator for digital transformation and cultural transformation, which is very positive. Then on your question on the back to school, we have committed to our customers not to increase our prices in 2020. We will remain true to this commitment. We will consider price increase as from 2021.
Okay, thank you.
So we have another question from Roshan Ranjit from Deutsche Bank. Please.
Great. Thank you for the questions. Three for me, please. Just going back to the COVID impact, you state limited impact so far this quarter. Looking at some of the KPIs, particularly the mobile ARPU trends, we've seen a slight acceleration in the decline. Can you give us a sense of what's actually happened to the kind of roaming volumes that you have seen, and also any color which we may have for the first few weeks of April? And if you can remind us what percent of your revenues are roaming revenues. Secondly, on the ICT business, now you obviously are in the process of integrating the BKM business, which I think this quarter was slightly weak and understandable. Anything you could tell us here about contracts, any potential payment delays or requests for payment delays there? And thirdly, again, appreciate the launch of your Go portfolio did happen during the lockdown or the start of the lockdown. Could you give us a sense of any of the trends which you saw through January and February? Because I think the mobile ads this quarter are quite weak. Again, bearing in mind the launch of that new portfolio, but anything you could say around the Jan-Feb trends would be great. Thank you.
Thank you. So I will let Arnaud answer on the two first questions on the mobile ARPU and ICT. And maybe I will start with the last question on the Go portfolio. So the launch was done actually just before the confinement, 10 days or so before the confinement. And obviously, the confinement affected the performance. It is also fair to mention that we are still, that the shops, the physical channels are still the main channel, the main acquisition channel for Orange Belgium, even so we have, as mentioned in our transformation plan, target to increase strongly the digital channels. It is not yet fully there. So it is true that we have been impacted probably more due to this situation. We believe our Go portfolio and our Go offer are very attractive for the customers. It's also something that is interesting for us because it creates, and it's the first time, it creates an interest, a strong interest, and strong incentive for the customers to combine multi-SIM in their contract, which existed for the convergence, but did not exist for the mobile. So we believe it is an opportunity, and it's what we see. Yeah? It is an opportunity to upsell customers and to get more, to get the family mobile, more of the family mobiles in the contract to join Orange. And what we see today is indeed something that is also interesting from an ARPO perspective. Because, as you have probably seen, the benefits come from the two higher tariff plans. So it is also an incentive to go for the more abundant data offers.
On ARPO?
Yeah, on ARPO, Arnaud?
Yes. So, yes, we... So a slight decrease by 2.5% on mobile ARPO. And about the roaming impact, you know, honestly, so we don't disclose the roaming revenue, but I can tell you it's less than 3% of our total revenue. So we don't see a big impact, yes, a small one, on our ARPO. But, you know, for example, the SMS impact, because, you know, in Belgium, the SMS are very expensive, but because there is a symmetrical exchange between operators, there is no impact on our EBITDA. But what I want to say, the SMS impact is bigger, even bigger than the roaming impact. So honestly, roaming is not big, and so we don't see a big impact in roaming And again, roaming, there is also the roaming from our customers, the cost, which will be lower also during this COVID period. So not a big impact. And honestly, the biggest impact was the regulation on the international calls last year. So ARPO is quite solid in mobile. On ICT, so you know, we don't have at this stage a big business in ICT. It's mainly the business from BKN, the company we bought last year. So it's a good business, but still low compared to our total revenues. You know, we disclosed last year it's 50 million euros revenues. So yes, BKM is impacted by the project in ICT, but in BKM there is not only the project, but also the maintenance, the infogérance. So all in all, no ICT and B2B issues will not be a big impact. On the B2B business, there is one hot topic, but maybe it's a little bit too early to know and to discuss something about. It's about the bad debt. Of course, there will be an impact on our in the B2B market in Belgium. So we need to look at it very closely and to try to forecast an impact. But today, it's a little bit too early to give you some figures about that. But so ICT business, not very big in Orange Belgium, but be careful with the bad debt on our B2B customers as any business in Belgium for any company, of course.
Okay, and thank you for that. Just to follow up on the bad debt point, maybe I missed it in the release, but have you taken any provision for the bad debt this quarter?
At this stage, no. Or the current one, we have some process to with some provision on bad debt, but at this stage, end of Q1, no specific provision against a future bad debt.
Great. Thank you very much.
A quick comment. We don't see yet a significant increase in bad debt, but we remain cautious because, indeed, there is a lot of uncertainty. It will depend on how long the crisis will last. It will depend on the measures that are taken by the government, and hopefully in Belgium there are strong measures to support economy. So it is more about uncertainty than about something that has materialized already.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Okay, so we have another question from Michael Bishop from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks. Good morning. I've got actually one follow-up on the last question and then one other question, please. So could you just give us your overall B2B exposure, perhaps within that, how much of that exposure is focused on SME and SOHO? And could you just give us a little bit more detail about any of the sort of early signs you're seeing there? I mean, it sounded from the answer to the last question that effectively some SMEs and things might be slowing down or stopping payments, but you think there's decent fiscal support in Belgium to mitigate, but I'd love to get any extra color. And then a second quick question is just whether you have any latest thoughts in terms of spectrum auctions in Belgium. Thanks very much.
Thank you. So I will let Arnaud answer on the B2B exposure and what we can see today, but we already answered on this. There is a lot of uncertainty, certainly. Sorry, on what will happen, and I will then answer on the spectrum spectrum option update. Arnaud?
Yes, we don't disclose, honestly, our B2B size business size. So, but what I can say, our B2B business, as I said, today is mainly on connection, mobile and fixed connection. So The main issue, again, is maybe not about projects and so on, but about bad debt. And I think we, Mikael and me, were quite clear. Today, we haven't experienced some impact on our business, but of course, we don't know at this stage, but maybe there will be an impact. SME is important on our B2B business. So again, we don't disclose the size of this business in Orange Belgium, but you know, in Belgium, there are a lot of SMEs compared to other countries. They are quite good SMEs, in a good health in Belgium, but of course, they are the main topic of this crisis. So we have to pay attention to that, and we know we can help in terms of payment this SME, but again, too early at this stage.
Yes, so you have understood. I guess it's the main uncertainty, and that's why we remain cautious up to now on the consequences of the crisis. It's the main uncertainty about what will happen to the overall economy. What we see up to now is that our customers continue to use our services, and even they need it more than ever. So it's not that they stop using our services. The uncertainty is rather, on the contrary, I would say, the uncertainty is rather on the potential bankruptcy impact. And so it's very dependent on all the duration topic and the support, all the support measures that are taken by the authorities. And in Belgium, it's a federal state, so it's all, both the federal but also the regions. And there are a lot of measures in there. So the efficiency of those measures will be indeed very important. On the spectrum topic, the situation in Belgium is still a little bit complex. Let's put it that way. We have still no auction planned for real and industrial distribution of spectrum. There have been a number of attempts by several players to try to move forward on this topic. So we are still in the same situation, meaning that there is a temporary spectrum that the BIPT regulator wants to grant. So it issued a procedure, a call for candidates for the attribution of temporary licenses in the 3.6, 3.8 GHz band. It is a little bit strange, to be honest, because this is temporary licenses that are supposed to expire at the start of the usage rights of the really auction spectrum, so the normal auction spectrum. It can still, it is supposed to be able to last at the latest up to 2025. It's with very limited bandwidth, because as far as we understand, each operator would get 40 MHz and the spectrum would be allocated to all the players who ask it. For us, it is an issue because there is no guarantee that the spectrum will be used. Just to remind you that there are five applicants in this process, the three MNOs, but also two other companies, CGK, which is an ICT company, and Entropia, which is a small B2B player. So we are concerned about this because there is no guarantee that this spectrum, which is potentially allocated for up to 2025, is really used by the players. We believe that today the conditions are not met to have an industrial rollout of 5G in Belgium. This is very worrying for us, and we really push 5G. We are really promoting 5G in Belgium. I believe we are the most ambitious
rollout of 5G in the, our Port of Paper B2B campus. We are convinced that B2B will be certainly one of the most important 5G applications. We are the most advanced technologically speaking. We just activated, for instance, the network slicing feature in this test. We have a lot of industrial partners. This is something that is very important. We see the use cases and we see the benefits for the industry. Unfortunately, today, the conditions are not met, in our view, to have a real rollout of 5G in Belgium.
Thanks very much. That's all really helpful.
Okay, so we have another question from Naya Damjad from Citi. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. Just on the dividend, what are the key factors besides being prudent driving the dividend decision from reducing it from 0.6 to 0.5? And given that the financial outlook has been maintained for now, and what should we expect for dividend going forward? And my second question is on, I just wanted an update on the profit per subscriber and cable with a bit of breakdown and associated costs. And you said you have one third of the customers, cable customers on Love Duo. Can you help us understand if these are mainly coming from, is this mainly cannibalization of existing base or are these new customers?
Okay. So I will answer on the dividend and part of the cable, and I will let Arnaud maybe give you the breakdown on the cable. So on the dividend, we are very clear. The board of directors decided to adopt a cautious approach. So there is nothing in the current results, neither in our current expectation. We mentioned what we understand and the expectation we have up to now for the 2020 year. I remind those expectations. We foresee moderate negative impact in revenues, more limited impact in EBITDA, and a moderate decrease of ICAP. So obviously, with this, there is it's not the reason to lower the dividend. The reason is the uncertainty that we are in, and the board of directors wanted to take a cautious approach in that regard. It does not obviously prevent further change in the dividend as from next year, for instance. It's a cautious approach that we are taking now, as many companies, due to the uncertainty. It has nothing to see with something that has materialized today. Then on the cable, on the cannibalization part, we see little cannibalization. So it's mainly new customers that join us on the Love Duo offers. I have also to remind you that, obviously, we are still a small player. We are still small market share in the broadband market. So, obviously, it is quite normal that the customer joining our Love Duo offer comes mainly from competition. So, I will let Arnaud answer on the breakdown. Arnaud, you're on mute, I think.
Sorry. So as every quarter, I give you the breakdown for our EBITDA, unitary monthly EBITDA per cable subscriber. So we don't disclose the RPU for cable, but you can imagine it's about 41 euro per month. We have 21 about on average wholesale cost per month, and about 10 euros in repair, remuneration. So a gross margin of about 10 euros. and about €7 in terms of customer service and other IT and other costs. So it's a margin, it's an EBITDA of €3 per month at this stage. And so, of course, this €3 per month will improve thanks to about the €3-4 we can gain on wholesale with the new with a potential new regulation. And again, thanks to our bold plan, an improvement of our customer service and other costs. So it's the answer, it's about €3 a month. That's it.
Thank you.
So we have another question from Ulrich Rathe from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much. My first question is, could you give us your interpretation why the wholesale cost proposals changed? We've heard BIPT talking publicly about its industrial policy intent or sort of accelerating and improving competition in the Belgian market. So what happened here? Did you just underspend on lobbying, or did the government try to protect the Proximus fiber rollout by making sure that market prices are staying high and that's the reason? Or what's your interpretation why this is all happening in this particular form? My second question is, can you comment on the amount of churn reduction you are seeing during the lockdown period? I mean, you're probably a month into it, and just wondering whether you have a number for that already. And my last question is more clarification. When you're saying that you started to transfer employees into the RAN sharing JV, how do you account for that? Is that a equity associate and that's off the P&L, or is this recharged and then popping up, and then these people are still popping up in your OPEX? Just wondering how that's treated accounting-wise. Thank you.
Thank you. So I will let Arnaud answer on the churn reduction, even if I guess we will not give you a lot of details on this topic. And on the JV accounting rules. On the first question, on the change, the strong change in methodology, on the question why, honestly, we don't want to speculate on this topic. What we see clearly is that the outcome is not fair. It leads to overcompensate the cost. Actually, to be clear, for instance, the decision, the draft decision, consider that the cable network would be somehow renewed every 25 years. It means that the cable owners would need to change the coax every 25 years, which is obviously not the case, which is not happening anywhere in the world, not happening neither in Belgium. So this is purely artificial, okay? And clearly it leads to wholesale tariffs that are very expensive, even more expensive than some FTTH wholesale tariffs in other countries, for instance. There is also very challenging assumption that leads to significant increase over time, which are not justified. I think when I mentioned earlier, up to 25% increase on some wholesale tariffs. Do you know one telco in the world, be it copper network or coax network, that sees an increase of its cost, of its network cost, of 25% over 3 years, talking about a network that is already rolled out. It's not a new network that is built. So this is something that is clearly very surprising and, in our opinion, completely and dangerously exaggerated. Okay? I will not speculate on the why. I will mainly try, and it's what we do, to explain the situation, to explain
why it is not justified, to explain the impact on this. Because this will have big impact on the Belgian market, and the Belgian need to know what this draft decision will imply in their life in the coming year. I think that in the current context, everybody recognizes that connectivity is absolutely key for everybody. In the current context also, people are cautious with their costs and very concerned. I guess that a lot of people will be concerned by the implication of the price increase that this draft decision would lead to if confirmed. Then Arnaud, maybe on the two other questions.
Yes, the first one was about the churn. So yes, we don't disclose our churn, but there is an impact on this churn, a reduction of this churn. Every operator in the Belgian market have a big part of their sales with physical channels. So it's true for Orange Belgium, but true also for our competitors. So we don't know exactly, and we don't know at this stage the figures, the net add figure of our competitors. But I think it could be a little bit symmetrical, this churn impact. But so it's a reduction, but we think symmetrical between all the operators. At this stage, we don't see a competitor in advance in terms of digital channel. The reason why Bold Inside is very, very focused on this digital tool to be able to be in advance compared to our competitors. The second question was about M-Wings and the way how we are recharged of the people. So yes, there is a facturation on people, not only on people, it's also on other costs of this company. So it will be in our P&L exactly as our network cost today. And as you know, it will be saving in the next years. For you, in terms of P&L, it will be totally transparent, where we will have costs coming from our own cost and costs coming from M-Wings, which will be in charge of the maintenance, will be in charge of the build, and so on and so on. So it's a recharging of OPEX and CAPEX from M-Wings, this new sharing company.
That's very clear. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So we have another question from Paul Sidney from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. I had three questions, please. Firstly, on the comments you made about considering offsetting higher cable wholesale costs by potentially putting price increases through in 21, were you really talking about higher spec broadband offers being more expensive than your current offer, or would you actually consider putting a backbook price increase through across your existing base? And then secondly, just interested to get your comments on your attitude towards reselling Proximus's fiber. They're obviously very open to giving access to yourselves and others. Just wondering what sort of cost considerations you would think about there, not just the wholesale rates, but also, you know, the costs of integrating your network with theirs as well. And then just lastly, just a big picture question. Do you think sort of medium to long term, any changes in customer behavior could actually be a net positive for the industry in terms of, you know, lower churn, customers wanting higher spec bundles? I know it's obviously a fairly big picture question, but just interesting to hear your thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you. So I will answer the three questions. On the first question, it is clear, maybe to make it absolutely clear, yes, there is an impact on higher speed. But there is also an impact over time on the nominal prices, the nominal price, and on our mainstream offer. So yes, it is something we will need to consider if the decision is unchanged. And once again, it is not something that we wanted to do, clearly. We are opposed to price increase in Belgium because we believe they are not justified. We believe this is something that is very detrimental to the Belgian customer who pay way too high for their broadband access. It is not justified by the cost. When you look at all the benchmarks in other countries, the prices are already very high. And here we are talking about increasing again the wholesale price, which will lead us to consider, as I mentioned, price increase, so including back book price increase, as from 2021. We have not taken any decision yet, not announcing anything, just saying that it is something we will need to consider as from 2021 if the decision is unchanged. Okay? On the fiber topic, we have mentioned as from 2017 that we were open to work together with any player, including Proximus, to support rolling out fiber in Belgium. So this is not new. We have seen the openness in Proximus last Capital Market Day, which we see positively. I must say that up to now, it has not yet materialized in concrete talks, but we remain open on this topic, as we have been since 2017. On the cost consideration, on the other cost consideration on this fiber topic, I would say that indeed there are costs when you build a new platform, for sure. It's not the same modem that you can use. For instance, you will have to have a solution for the TV, which is different in the cable you use the coax TV. But those costs are, I would say, they are significant if you do this for a small customer base. They are relatively small if you consider bigger volumes. So it really depends on the ambition that you put there. They can be perfectly manageable with high volumes. They can be more problematic if it's only for small volumes. That's why we are looking at ambitious rollout and ambitious plan, and we are not interested in only small when the ambition is too small. Okay. On customer behavior and churn, honestly, it is really difficult to assess. What we have seen is that in other markets, for instance, you can have very high churn when everybody is convergent, take Spain, for instance. So it's difficult to assess. It depends on the market situation, it depends on the player's behavior, it depends on the players that are there, on their strategy. It is for me a little bit difficult to assess. What we can see, indeed, is that we manage, talking about Orange, we manage to drive down the churn of our convergent customers, which was quite high in the beginning, which is normal, and with a new service, a new offer, with also new customers, and we know that new customers tend to churn more than existing customers. So we continue to improve, what I can say on this topic is we continue to improve the churn of our convergent customers. And that's also a topic, by the way, on our Go offer, with the family offer, because we believe we can expect also a similar benefit of churn improvement. That's what we see, the multi-SIM customers tends to have lower churn than customer with only one SIM.
That's very helpful. Thank you very much.
So we have another question from Mauro Catalis from Campaign. Go ahead.
Yes, hi, good morning. A couple of questions from my end. First of all, could you give some guidance on the operational trends in fixed and mobile that you have seen since the lockdown, so since mid-March? Secondly, on the impact of Corona, is it fair to say that the negative EBITDA effect will be fully offset by lower capex, or even that lower capex can be down a bit more than the drop in EBITDA? Then on cable regulation, so the regulator has changed his view, I think, three times in 12 months. What is the probability, according to you, that the cable regulation as presented 2 weeks ago will change again? And if so, why do you believe that? And then lastly, on VOO, if you could just give an update if anything is moving on that front. Thank you.
Thank you. So I will answer all the questions. On the fixed and mobile operational impact, what we see is the impact, we have an impact on sales and we have an impact on churn. Okay, so that one is mitigated a little bit the other. However, we believe we are probably a little bit more dependent on the shop. So we accelerate and we push a lot on digital and telesales, which are growing quite fast. But we push also, and as soon as possible, and we believe that also a lot of customers are expecting to come back to the shops. There are some elements that are much less used. For instance, when you buy a device, change your device, it is something that is complex in the confinement period. However, on the figures, you have to take into account that there is a delay between the sales and the net add in the fixed, which is not existing or much less existing in the mobile. So you can have a little bit of delay between the moment of the impact and the materialization in the net add figure for the fixed, which is not the case for the mobile. So for the mobile, we have seen the impact, I would say, as from the beginning of the confinement on the fixed. We have not yet seen the impact in the net adds. We expect to see some impact in Q2. On the EBITDA, operating cash flow, okay. Let's be very clear on this topic. We mentioned that we see a more limited impact on EBITDA. This is our expectation for 2020. It's not what we saw up to now. It's our expectation up to now of the expected 2020 impact. We expect a moderate decrease of the capex. Okay. So now what we also mentioned is that there are a lot of uncertainty. So this is our vision up to now. This is our vision of 2020, but up to now, once again, we discussed earlier about, for instance, the B2B and the topic about the businesses in Belgium and how they will be affected. But up to now, you can do your evaluation then on the operating cash flow. But what we say is more limited impact on the EBITDA and moderate decrease on e-capex. So it is not, up to now, our vision is not degrading the operating cash flow. Then on the third question on the probability of change, well, actually, we don't know. I don't bet on probability. What I mentioned is we are in the last step, so it is obviously more difficult to have significant, or it is more, I would say, uncertain. Not difficult, it's more uncertain to have a significant change. However, when I see the potential impact, especially over time, because I think the most of the impact is mainly as from 2022, 2023, which will be very unreasonable already today, but I would say it will become really, really something difficult for the customer at the end of the day, because once again, it is about price increases for the customers. And what we have seen is until Orange Belgium came into the broadband market, the duopoly always pushed the prices up. So we believe that it is something they will probably continue to do. So what we say is that this perspective, and we clearly make this perspective very clear for the regulators and the politics to take their responsibility and take the right decision. Obviously, we will adapt our marketing and our strategy based on the final decision that will be adopted. Okay? Then on VOO, what we can mention is that, as you know, we have filed a legal file on this topic because we are concerned about the condition of the sales of VOO to Providence. What is new is that, as you have probably seen, Telenet finally decided to join this file. That's the first element. Second element is that we discover, as we do every month, every week, every day, almost on this topic, new elements tending to show strong issues in this process. Recently, for instance, McKinsey agreed to reimburse €7 million to Netflix based on the work that has been done for Netflix that was not up to the standard of McKinsey, and especially quoting one of this one was the one of this this work was the support to the sale of VOO. So what I can mention also is that the audience on this topic will be held with a few weeks delay. Finally, it will be June, beginning of June, because of the COVID context and also the Telenet joining the file. But it will be quite soon now. So we will see what will be the decision on this topic.
Thank you.
So we have another question from Ruben Devos from KBC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. I've got two questions left. First one is just on, you know, there are scenarios that will have another wave of infections in the future, potentially, you know, leading to reinstatement of the lockdown measures, considering the issues you're seeing today in terms of growing the subscriber base. I was wondering how you're thinking around not only managing this crisis, but how you may be preparing for potential future lockdowns. That's the first question. The second one is a bit of a bigger picture question on the back of this crisis and how it leads to, you know, major changes in the way of working and how corporates are running their operations currently. I was curious whether these developments, in your view, may lead to structurally different customer behavior once all of this is behind us? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So on the first question, what we saw is that actually we were very agile and ready to adapt to the lockdown very quickly. All of our employees, most of them, with very few exceptions, were able to work from home as from day one. And by the way, we already anticipated, on this topic before the confinement. So it is something that we are able to manage, not only for us, but also for our partners, our call centers, our IT partners, our network partners. So we have made a demonstration. We are able to run the company, to manage the network, to manage the operation in the lockdown period. So we will see what will be the evolution over time. But for us, resilience is something key, is a critical element for us, and I think that we demonstrated that we can manage a lockdown. Obviously, all the lockdown affects indeed the sales, which is true for everybody, but we are working very hard to increase our capacity of our digital and telesales channels. On the way of working, okay, I'm not sure to understand if your question is about our own way of working or or the customer behavior. What we can say is that internally, indeed, we see an acceleration of the cultural transformation. Thanks to the crisis, in the context of the crisis. And what we see also, we saw a massive change in the consumption of our customers, obviously linked to the confinement, but we can also expect maybe some more focus of some customers, especially B2B customers, on resilience solution, which we can bring to them with connectivity, with also a secured solution, cyber security, which is something we are bringing to our customers. Collaboration and communication tools, and now with BKM, we have also strong solutions that we can bring for that to them. So there can also be, I would say, but it is a little bit early to see this, but we might anticipate B2B customers to be more concerned and to put more focus on resilience and on the tools that are needed to continue to work in some complex and difficult times.
Okay, thank you very much.
So we have another question from Stéphane Genoux from Degroof Petercam. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Stéphane Genoux, Degroof Petercam. Two questions, please. First, on the fixed network, you indicated on the new regulation that you expect price increases going forward. To what extent do you fear that the convergence competitors will use these price inflation on the fixed to keep mobile prices under pressure or below inflation going forward? That's one. And then second, could you indicate us the impact of installations of the lockdown on your convergence connections to new customers? How has this impacted Q1? Then I mean the technical implementation of it and connection, and how do you expect this to impact Q2? Thank you.
Thank you. So I will answer on the two questions. So
obviously, I will not bet on our competitors' strategy. Yeah? That's their decision. What I can see is that they also have their own, I would say, challenges with some of them, for instance, with the high debt ratio, which is always something to take into account, and also others that are paid to strong investments. So we will see. I will not bet on competitor or strategy. But what I can say is that up to now, we have seen our competitors constantly pushing prices up. So I see no reason at this stage to consider they would not they would change this strategy, which we witnessed for the moment. On the impact on installation during lockdown, so we have seen limited impact in Q1, as we were mainly installation are still possible, so we can still install customers. Because it is very important indeed for the customers to have connectivity even more in this confinement period. Obviously, we saw a slowdown in the installation, also linked to the sales slowdown. So it will affect Q2. It depends, I would say, mainly on the sales elements, on the sales part. So the more the sales are limited, the more then the installation, we will have less customers to install during Q2. We will see, we might also recuperate a little bit, but it is difficult to assess, not knowing exactly how the situation will evolve. So it's a little bit early to comment on this, but indeed we have a slowdown in installation that we currently indeed are not in the full full capacity of installation today.
Okay, thank you.
So we have another question from Baden Coles from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, Simon from Barclays. You sort of touched on it, but you said you're open to working with Proximus. And given the cable wholesale pricing, how that looks to be implemented and the inflation that seems to be built into the model, but also the fact that wholesale costs for Proximus's fibre look pretty high as well, I'm just wondering, does this accelerate your desire to look at co-investment? And are you looking to do that already? And if you are, how would you look to finance any such investments? Would it be just through the balance sheet because you have a strong balance sheet today? Or could you potentially look at, say, tower monetization or some other routes to finance such an investment?
Thank you. So the let's be clear, huh? The fiber topic and our fiber consideration is not linked to the cable wholesale decision. Once again, I've mentioned that since 2017, we are called on this topic to work together to roll out fiber in Belgium. And it is not linked for also one very simple reason, is the timeline is very different. We are talking, when we talk about fiber, we are talking of a network that will be rolled out and anyhow, it will take years and years, more than 10 years, to have significant coverage. So anyhow, the cable will remain for the 3 to 5 years minimum, the main and way to access the market and to provide solutions to the customers. Let's be absolutely clear on this topic. So there is absolutely no relation one to the other. And we consider the fiber as a strategic opportunity. We have been considering this since the start.
Now there is announcement by Proximo that they want to accelerate on this topic. Welcome. We are once again open to discuss this topic. We will need to see how and when it will materialize. But anyhow, the timeline will be different, and we will not be in a position to switch from cable to fiber as of tomorrow. This is not something realistic. How to finance this? It's very early to comment on this because it's very dependent on the potential agreement we could find. Once again, no discussion yet on this topic, so it is very early to comment. But indeed, as you mentioned, we have a strong balance sheet and we have no issue, we have no cash issue, but I will not comment more than this topic, because, more than this on this topic, because obviously it will be very dependent of the discussion, and if an agreement is found somewhere, we will see on this topic.
Okay, thank you very much. Very clear.
So we have another question from Martin Hammerschmidt from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I just have one quick question, please, which is a follow-up to a previous one. Could you give us some indication on where your gross adds in mobile and in particular in cable, where they are coming from? So from which operator do you mostly gain customers? And maybe related to that, could you give us an indicative split and maybe also sort of by geography? That would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay. So on this topic, what we can see is that on mobile, we were historically more present in the south and in Brussels than in Flanders. In the cable, in broadband, it's much more balanced geographically speaking. Now, on the origin of the customers, what we see on cable is that we attract more customers from Telenet, from the cable players, than from the incumbent. It is something, by the way, that it is quite normal because it is simpler also to install a customer that is already a cable customer. So we indeed have no reason to change this trend and not to push to push more towards Telenet customers. So that's exactly what we do, as we have no incentive from the cable operator to do differently.
Okay, so we have no further question, but as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please dial 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad. So it seems that we have no further question. So I give the floor back to Mr. Koen Van Mol. You have the floor.
Thank you very much for your questions. If you would be any further information that you would require, please don't hesitate to contact us at a later stage. Thank you very much and goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation and you may now disconnect.